Again, it's nice to be with you again. We thank you again for your prayers and your love toward us while we've been here and while we've not been here. It's always a wonderful time to be with you and to be encouraged by you and to be able to encourage you also. And so we thank you for that, and we continue to look forward to this summer and ministering in all the different ways at camp. Some of you have applied to be with us this summer and work alongside, and we look forward to that. It's a little bit different going off to camp to serve the Lord. It's a good starting place. Amen. And by God's grace, many will go to camp, be encouraged, see how the Lord is working. For those who go up in July and work with the daily vacation Bible schools that we'll be putting on, it will set you up for serving the Lord very well in the vacation Bible school plan for here in August, and we'll get you into the flow. Although here at 16, they're very short, only a couple hours long. There it will be from 9 till 4:30, so it's a little bit more extensive. And so once you have all your stamina for figuring out how to do a whole day's worth, and then doing preparation when you're not with the children, coming back and helping out at the Vacation Bible School at 16th Avenue Bible Chapel in August will be very easy, or seem very easy to you after working for all day long. But despite me saying that, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work on our knees when nobody sees us. And so keep summer camp in your minds. Keep the Vacation Bible School in your minds also. And so that's this summer. We would look to the Lord in John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3. Sometimes when we go through life, there's a lot of things we don't quite get because, and as some of you get to know me a little bit better, you've figured out that I like using puns. And some have decided that puns have a new name and they're called dad jokes. And I think that means that somebody whose father tells this joke, and usually, despite the father thinking it's quite funny, everybody else just groans at it. But there's some things we don't quite get. And as Leo usually doesn't get my jokes until much later on when either somebody explains it to her or it dawns on her, sometimes there's things lost in translation, and they don't make any sense. I tell them in both English and Spanish. But this morning's story that we're going to read here, there was something that Nicodemus didn't quite get, and it had to be explained to him. It wasn't necessarily a joke, but it was something that got lost in translation somehow from the Lord's mouth to his mind. And the Lord had to explain it a little more fully to him so that he could understand what he was talking about. And we'll see if we can't try to discover part of that. Chapter 3 of John's Gospel. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth or where it wants, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from where it came and where it goes to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a teacher, a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye have not received our witness or our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Excuse me. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning. We have this marvelous story of this religious man named Nicodemus, a good, upright man in the sight of people all around him, even in the sight of his companions and I'm forgetting the word in English, his colleagues. There he was, and he was perplexed. He had heard stories, he had heard the testimonies, he had heard all these different things. He even says, we know that you came from God. He heard so many stories, because nobody can do all the things that you're doing except he's from God. There he was. And he comes to Jesus at nighttime. Now, the night can mean several different things. It could physically mean, and it very, at the very least, it means that he physically went at nighttime. It could mean, as a metaphor, the condition of his heart. Because he hadn't been born again. We can take it both ways. Because sometimes, and I know we don't get our theology from the hymnal, but once our hearts were dark with sin and black with sin. It's a difficult thing when there is no light and we live in darkness. And if we would have read further, and if I were smarter and I would have read further, it would have said, and this is the combination, that men preferred the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You see, a lot of bad things happen in the nighttime. Sometimes people ask me, is it safe where you are in Mexico? And I say, yeah. Well, how can we hear all these reports? Well, what they don't tell you is most of those reports about bad things happening in Mexico happen at night. You wake up in the morning and that's when you see the dead bodies. You wake up in the morning and you see the results of what happened during the night. You see, men try to keep their deeds hidden. and their evil deeds because they just got to hide them. We do things in secret, behind closed doors, not out in the daylight. And now we're starting to live in a society where things are getting twisted around so that even men don't try to hide their deeds in darkness anymore. And we're seeing the true metaphorical darkness of their hearts as men and women start to do whatever they feel is right in their own eyes. They were showing some videos, news clips once of the riots that happened in Vancouver. And the strange thing I noticed about some of the riots that happened in Vancouver is people would go in front of the camera and go like this. Like they were proud for being there, even though they're involved in such an evil event, a riot. In downtown Vancouver, vandalism, looting, robbery, flipping over police cars, lighting things on fire, breaking windows. And they go in front of the news and they're all proud and happy about what they're doing. And it's the darkness of their hearts. They're not even with shame, not even with embarrassment, and they flaunt their evil deeds before the rest of the world. No shame, no embarrassment. The darkness of our hearts, deceitful and exceedingly wicked, the scriptures would talk about our hearts. Dark, 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 where there is no light that we allow to come in. Living in the secrets of our sin. It's a dark place. But it could be that besides being the physical night, that Nicodemus just couldn't wait for the morning to come.
Amen.
You see, you and I live in the present. We sometimes live in the past for some strange reason, and we glory in past events. Oh, I remember when, I remember when, and I remember when. And it's not because we have old-timers disease or Alzheimer's disease. It's just that we haven't really done anything. Sometimes I wonder if that's not one of the causes, and I haven't studied this, to Alzheimer's diseases. You just stay in the same old routine and you never do anything new. And so you only have old stories to tell because you haven't got a new story in years to tell. Because you're too busy living in the past that you're not living for the Lord in the present. Now, you see, what's happening to Nicodemus is he was sort of living in the present. And he had heard all these things that God had done and through the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, we know that you're a man come from God because not anybody on the face of the earth can do all these things that you're doing unless God's with him. And beloved, despite the saying, they say, why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? Nicodemus was doing now what he had to do. He couldn't put it off till tomorrow to find out if Jesus was the Messiah or not. He could not wait till tomorrow to find out if Jesus was the one he was waiting for. And he went and he couldn't wait any longer. And he said, and he asked, and he couldn't wait. So he went at night. It didn't matter if he was losing sleep over it. It didn't even matter if the Lord Jesus was losing sleep over it. He had to go because he had to know. Now, the one great thing is that if you want to know, you're never, ever going to wake the Savior up. Despite us singing the song, Rise Up, Rouse, oh boy, I forgot what it, how it went. Rouse up ye sleepers. Isn't that what we just sang? Something like that. Rise ye, O sleepers. The Lord Jesus never slumbers. He doesn't get tired. And he never is lazy. And if somebody's looking for him, Jesus will always find him. It's a nice thing about the Savior. You can go to him and he's not upset about you coming in the middle of the night. We never read about him being upset that Nicodemus, it's the middle of the night, man. Go to sleep, come back in the morning. The Lord Jesus, the Savior, he never says that to anybody. He says, come now and come as you are. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you won't harden your heart, says the Lord Jesus, today is the day. He doesn't turn anybody away if they come seeking him. And Nicodemus was seeking him and looking towards him. And he makes this request. We know you're a teacher from God. And then, but it's not really a request. It's a statement. And Jesus answered his statement. And he said, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus started scratching his head and scratching his chin and wondering, huh? There must have been something lost in translation, because how can a man be born again when he's old? I've already been born. How can I enter into my mother's womb again? That's not possible. Nobody's ever done that before. What are you talking about? Can he go a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And the Lord Jesus is patient with his questions. And he answers him and says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You see, the Lord explains it to him again, and this time amplifies it, because he said, born again. And Nicodemus thought, well, the only way I know how to be born is ga-ga-goo-goo. You have to come out of the womb and you have to wear diapers and you're sort of there. And the Lord Jesus, in his patience and his eternal patience, he looks at him and says, don't marvel at that. It's not such a wondrous thing. You don't have to think about being born again and going through the womb and the birth canal. That's not what I'm talking about. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's your first birth. That's your birth. But what I'm talking about is being born again, being born a second time, being born from above, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what we are right now. We're physically here. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, you don't need to be born physically again. You need to be born spiritually for the very first time. You see, Paul would put it this way. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're without hope and without God in the world. Sin entered the world through one man, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, the scriptures would say. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the soul that sins, it dies. And that's why you see people dying. Beloved, and understand me the way I'm saying this, the manner of people's deaths, people didn't die of COVID. Well, that was sort of the manner they died, I guess, the cause. But the root cause of people dying wasn't COVID. It wasn't a car accident. It wasn't cancer. It was sin. Sin leads forth to death every time. That's what James says. Sin, when it gives out its fruit, it produces death every time. And that's why we die. Because of sin. And we die physically because of sin. Some people ask, well, I'm a pretty good person. And I say, yeah, you might be a pretty good person. But are you sinless? You see, the soul that sins must die. Are you sinless? No, but I'm pretty good. I'm better than everybody that I know. And I said, well, I didn't ask you if you're better than everybody you know. I asked, have you ever sinned? Have you ever done anything wrong? And sometimes some people are foolish enough to say, oh, no, I'm sinless. And I say, can I talk to your mom? Can I talk to your husband? Oh, and then they start sort of backing away. Well, I'm not perfect. And I said, that's the problem, that we're not perfect. You see, there are certain things that God says, and sometimes people say, well, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. Oh, have you ever stolen anything? Well, just ever got a pen that you're not supposed to have? I think I'll confess to you, I'm hoping someone from here gave me this pen. I think it says 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. But sometimes, if you ever saw my pen collection, you would see I have pens from Home Depot, I have pens from Lowe's, I have pens from the Toronto Dominion Bank, I have pens from the Royal Bank. Now, you might expect me to have a pen from the Canada Trust because that's where I do most of my banking. You wouldn't ever expect me to have one from Scotia Bank or the Bank of Commerce or the Royal Bank because I don't do business with those places, but I have their pens. My cousin, when he had a business, he used to say, this pen was stolen from, and then he had his business name. And so I have a whole lot of pens that I didn't get given to me that I own. You may think that that's kind of a silly thing to say, but it's an example of sin and stealing because I didn't ask for that pen. And it wasn't given to me as a gift. I just, sometimes, do you ever sign something and just put the pen behind your ear? I do that all the time. Sign something and I put it in my pocket. Stealing is stealing, you know. Doesn't matter how big it is. Something, well, that's just a little thing. It's a pen. Well, the size makes a difference. So I kidnap a baby. That's just a little sin, and kidnapping a full-grown adult, that's a big sin. Or killing a baby. You know, they're just small. Even before it's born, say the doctors, it's not killing. It's not. But if I were to get somebody big like Marcus Kuipers, who will be speaking, you know, he's about 6.5 feet tall. Well, that's a real murder. But if, you know, just this big, the size of the sin makes the difference? And the answer is no. Oh, I don't sin very often. Oh, so it's the amount you sin. So if you just sin once or twice, that's different than if you sin a whole bunch of times. So if I kill only one person, that's no big deal. But if I kill 100 people or 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people, that's a big deal. So someone who kills one person, they shouldn't go to jail. But somebody like Adolf Hitler, he should go to jail. Is that what you're saying? Because that's what your argument is. Because you don't do it very often, then it doesn't matter. But beloved, it does matter. because it's our sins that have separated us from God. And as sin entered the world through the disobedience of one man, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, before all have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And beloved, that's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and you need to be born again in your spirit, because your spirit is dead and it needs to have life. There was a time in the Old Testament where there was this man named Ezekiel. And Ezekiel in chapter 37 was taken to this valley of very dry bones, you see. Not only was it bones, so what are bones? Bones are like after it's dead, after it's decomposed, after the birds have picked at it, after the dogs have picked at it, after the sun has dried it out, after the bacteria are done, you're left with bones, very dry bones. And God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? What would you say? Probably not. They're dead. Ezekiel was much smarter than that response. He says, well, you know. And God says, well, prophesy unto these bones that they live. And the bones started to come together. And the dry bones that were dead were starting to get life again. And as they came together, and the sinews and the ligaments and the muscles and the organs and the flesh was put on, the bones came to life. And that which was very, very, very dead received life. And beloved, we who are very, very dead in trespasses and sin can be made alive through Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary's cross when we trust in him as our Savior. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Because that which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. And Nicodemus is being told here, you need to be born again of the Spirit. Oh, nobody knows how it happens. The wind blows, and nobody knows where it comes from. Where did it originate? Nobody really knows where it's going, but you can hear the wind when it's blowing. You can see it, the dust in the wind, but the way it happens, we don't really know. And that's what it's like to be born of the Spirit. You don't know what's happening. What you do know is that you can no longer live the way you're living. You can't put up with it anymore. The Spirit of God is convicting you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And you just don't know what's going on. All you know is that, like Nicodemus, you need to go to Jesus. And he couldn't wait until the morning. And there's some people listening right now that need to go to Jesus, and they can't wait till this afternoon. They need to do it now. And Jesus says, you must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And you need to get life into your spirit. Is it possible? Well, just like God made those bones in the book of Ezekiel come together and have life, God can give you new life in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away, and all things are now new. He gives you life. The book of Ephesians says he gives us life from death. The book of Thessalonians says we've turned from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his marvelous Son. We're no longer coming at night, but he gives us the light of life, and the light is a light for men. It's something important for us to see. How does that happen? How are you born again? Well, Jesus tells us here, doesn't he? It's in this verse that's right behind me. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Lord Jesus told him. How do you get born again? You believe in the Son that God sent. He who believes in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And you know what? Nicodemus believed. He didn't go away sad. There were some people that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" "Well, give away all your riches." And that young man went away sad because he had way too many riches. And he didn't want to give up with them. He didn't want to be born again. He was happy. That which was born of the flesh was flesh. And he was happy in his flesh. But you know, by the time we get to John chapter 19, we read about Nicodemus again. Look in verse 38. This is after the cross. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there also came Nicodemus, the one at the first came to Jesus by night." Same Nicodemus, the same man. "And he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds worth. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes and with spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury." You see, Jesus was there and telling Nicodemus what he had to do to be born again. And Nicodemus believed in the Son of God and was born again. There's the evidence in chapter 19. He wasn't going to let his Savior just hang there on a tree. "Oh, cursed was every man that hangs on a tree." But to Nicodemus, he wasn't a cursed man, was he? He brought him down and gave him a burial with myrrh, 100 pounds worth. It's a lot of weight to carry. And he took it all and he put it on his Savior that day. And so we plead with you, as living men to dying men, that you must be born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Only the Lord Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. We plead with you, be born again. Doesn't say you have to understand everything we say. You need to understand that you're a sinner and Christ is the Savior. There's nothing you can do but believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. The Lord bless you. Our Father in heaven, we think of Nicodemus and we thank you for him. We know that he was a good man. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He was a leader of religious people. And he found out that he wasn't too good, that he didn't need to be saved. He found out that he too was like everybody else and needed to be born again. Not entering in a second time to his mother's womb, because he was already born fleshly and physically. But he needed to be born spiritually. And he needed spiritual life from the dead. And he needed to be born again by the Spirit of God. Just like all of us. And Father, we thank you that some of us have. And we're thankful that the message is there. And we can say that joyful sound that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And our prayer, Father, is that for those that are listening who aren't saved, would hear the cry, ye must be born again. And come to Jesus without any hesitation and without any delay. And be born again, even now. We thank you for the message that Jesus died for our sins. And he was buried. And that he rose again on the third day. Resurrected to newness of life. Just like we can be resurrected to newness of life when we're born again. Bless the message, we pray, for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen.